Welcome back. You're watching Stock Watch with me, Bright Khumalo. Tackling your stock-related questions this evening are Drikus Kombrink from Capicraft and Mia Kruger from Kruger International. Send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag StockWatch. Mia, Drikus, good evening. I'll start with you, Drikus. What did you make of today's market? I mean, the JSE closed in the green and we saw a nice bounce, in the open in the US. S&P 500 and the NASDAQ seem to be bouncing back from last week's losses.
Yeah, so yesterday, most international markets were open and the trade basically was gold higher and energy up. And somewhere along the line, and Bullard, one of the Monetary Policy Committee members of the Federal Reserve, he alluded to a 75 basis point hike. He said it's a possibility at the next meeting. So they're getting more hawkish by the week now. And, your long duration assets sold off, etc. And somewhere, I think it's this morning, Hungary made a statement. The foreign minister said they will not back sanctions, oil and gas sanctions to Russia, and all your energy, the whole energy complex and commodity complex followed suit and sold off, even precious metal sold off. And I think that is that, together with some positive earnings results coming through, there's a lot coming in after the bell in the US, some positive earnings results maybe, and housing starts and building permits in the US surprised to the upside. So some positive economic news, and I think mostly today, actually sector rotation out of the inflation trade and back into long duration assets. Even though, the 20-year, 10-year, 30-year, the whole long end of the bond curve is being sold off today again.
Selling off, yeah. I guess that cash has to go somewhere, right? Mia, we've seen some, positive results last week coming out of the U.S. We saw, J.P. Morgan missed and BlackRock, but we saw some good earnings coming out of Wells Fargo. I mean, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and all the other banks, which is, sort of a way to gauge where the consumer is. And obviously today at open, we had J&J, or pre-open, we had J&J's results as well. What did you make of all of that?
Yeah, and I think the earnings season kicked off pretty positively, as you mentioned, with the financial stocks. And it was really just Wells Fargo that took quite a big knock with 4.5% down after their results. But the rest of the banks and financials coming in quite solid, even though this is expected to be a slightly less of an exciting earnings season this quarter, I still think we'll see strong numbers. The consumer in the U.S. has been alive and well and kicking. I was there a while ago and I couldn't believe how strong that economy was functioning, how much money people had to spend, how everything was just in high demand and going places. And that's really supporting the services businesses. We've seen that now with the airlines. We've seen it with most services, restaurants, etc. in the US. And that is definitely the next boom sort of thing to follow, despite the consumer spending a lot of money on buying things. So the service is now picking up in line with that. But despite that, even with the IMF coming out, they had the revisions down, economic growth worldwide really, going to be slightly less than they anticipated in January. But the US won't be in a recession this year or next year. And I think that's the key driver for us going into this earnings season. We know that inflation has probably peaked. We expect interest rates to be hiked this year. So there's no real uncertainty around that. I think the main uncertainties globally is the crisis in Ukraine and with Russia. But that's not impacting the American economy at this stage. And that's what's going to be quite clear when it comes to the earnings season now.
Yeah, and the interesting set of numbers that I looked at were LVMH, which sort of, talks to the high-end luxury market. I mean, we didn't see any, sort of pushback there. I mean, 28% increase year on year, which is like for like increase, which is, you know, way more than what we expected. And obviously their core business, which is leather goods, was doing very well, with like-for-likes, you know, growth of 30%, which is impressive considering that about 40% of the Chinese economy is under lockdown, you know what I mean? So it's like you're saying, the US and Europe, you know, still supporting that share price. Even though if you look at the actual share price, how it's performing since the beginning of the year to today as compared to its peers, it's not doing so well. It hasn't actually bounced back with, you know, the rest of the shares that are bouncing back in the United States, which begs the question, is it a good one at this point? Let's jump into our questions this evening. It's from Andre, who says, hi, a question to the panel, please. Thungela has run extremely hard the last couple of weeks. Is it time to sell and take profits, or should I wait a bit? Mia, want to take that one?
Well, no, yes, so, I think, sorry, I didn't hear any of you address
that. Take it, Mia.
You go ahead, Trikas.
Yeah, no, gold prices have done extremely well. You know, at this point, a lot of the countries that do not follow a very religious, that doesn't have a very religious following of ESG mandates, mostly in the developing world, will increase their gold production. We are trying to, but obviously we can't get it out. Transnet has announced a force majeure last week, and I think Exxaro is going to take them to court about that. I think there's a civil lawsuit coming. I'm with Exxaro. I don't think they've got a case there to declare force majeure. China's coal production is up almost 20% year on year.
Wow.
And I expect Indonesia's will be increasing. Australia will, you know, if they can move it, you know, from Australia, yeah, they'll increase it. So coal production will increase, but at the same time, Europe is burning more coal than at any time in their history, and that's despite the green
revolution,
revolution in the environment that you're in at the moment. And the reason is that they've, you know, spent all the money on green energy in the last few years, and they've cut back on nuclear. So yeah, that's interesting. I think the future is moving towards nuclear, even if it's slowly so. But in the meantime, we're going to burn more coal. So I think, to cut a long story short, I think Thungela will have a massive 2020, maybe even 2023. Somewhere along the line, supply will catch up. It's much easier to dig out coal, and most of it's in emerging markets where there is less red tape to do so. So it's far easier to do that, granting you can ship it, and then prices will normalize. So I'll take a bit of profit from Thungela here. They haven't got the best assets in the industry, and maybe just accumulate a little bit of cash at this stage.
Yeah, and Mia, second part of the question says, if you sell out of Thungela, which other share or shares should one invest in?
Well, I think most definitely, if you haven't yet, you should invest in global stocks, because the South African economy, as we hear and as we've heard, is not growing. There's very few people that actually earn a lot of money here to spend, firstly, and the economy is struggling to create jobs. We hear about the Transnet issues, the force majeure being declared in Natal, and it's just a problem on top of the problem. So, of course, there's always opportunities within a country like this, with Thungela being one of those short-term opportunities, really not for me, a long-term player of over 10 years or so. We've all known that the green energy revival or revolution, as you called it earlier, will take many years to be implemented, especially in emerging markets like South Africa. But the fact remains that these companies like Thungela will probably not invest majorly into new resources, and that will mean that they will be a good cash cow for investors to hold in uncertain times where we see pressure on energy like now. But globally, we've seen much higher economic growth rates, which will then also lead to companies being able to make money in those economies. And that is one of the big issues for me around South Africa. We've been sitting with a very, very strong rand, and it's difficult for me to find real opportunities on the local side.
Oh, interesting. Before we go to the break, Atricus, we have a question here. It says, a view on Tiger Brands at current share price. Thanks. This is from Matthew on Twitter.
Yeah, it's cheap. I think it's resting on a very long-term support line. If it breaks there, well, I'm not sure it will. You know, I think a lot of traders will be watching that support line. It's sitting, I think, on a just above a 10 price earnings ratio. Yeah, it's a management problem, I think, mostly. You know, that's the medium to long-term story there. That's, you know, the first thing. The second thing is the white label brands, you know, the no names, the chain stores are eating into market share, and they're doing it through pricing power. And third thing is, in the short term, margins will get hurt for all food producers, etc. You know, input costs rise faster than what they can put them through to the end consumer. So you will see. I won't be surprised if you see earnings decline for a lot of these companies over the next few periods. But after that, you know, they are generally consumer staples and they will hedge inflation over the long term. So somewhere you should get into one of those over the next, say, 6 months or year as those margins compress. I'm not just sure if Tiger Brands is the right one.
Let's jump into our questions again here on Twitter. This is from Greg, who's asking about Old Mutual. I'll go with you, Mia. Sorry.
Yeah, so I mean, we've seen our financials locally really, you know, doing better than most people have anticipated them to fare. Also now, just when you think about your broader market exposure, if you only have an ETF, you'd probably have more of Old Mutual just due to the fact that BHP Billiton corporate action has reduced the commodity exposure. So that's just a positive for even for ETF holders. But yes, Old Mutual has, I think, done pretty well over the last couple of years. And I think it's a solid share to hold on the financial side in South Africa.
Oh, fantastic. Do you have any thoughts on Old Mutual, Trickus?
I'm not the biggest fan. it sports a nice dividend yield, so optically it looks cheap. But I'm not the biggest fan of the brand, of the business model. And looking at financial services, it's quite mixed out there. So I'm not sure what to make of what their results would look like in the current period. PSG just came out with PG Consult. Just came out with some great figures, the wealth business doing quite well. And Coronation is seeing what must be a loss of market share, you know, and I think AUM was down about 10% or so.
Wow.
So it's a mixed picture out there. Maybe it's a market share moving around, you know, more clients moving towards other service providers. And I'm not sure where Old Mutual fits in, but of course I don't have a strong feel for the brand and the business model, I'm not necessarily going to be an investor.
Yeah, and I mean, they've done quite a lot of corporate action. We saw them unbundling those, NetBank shares and obviously separating the businesses into two. You've got Quilter.
I think most of the low-hanging fruit is gone, you know, so it's going to be more difficult for them to move the needle from here.
Okay, no, so that's a good summary. Me, I'm going to come to you again. We've got PPC, this one keeps coming up for some reason because of, you know, the floods that we've seen in Durban, KZN, or basically in the coast side, north coast and south coast. So what are your thoughts on PPC?
Well, look, I think we all anticipated PPC to benefit from the clampdown of the government on the illegal cement imports, which they haven't really seen to the extent that that we'd hoped for. We thought that the share was particularly attractively valued when it had basically crashed to its lowest prices last year or so. And from that level, with a sufficient government clampdown, it would benefit. The share price run quite a bit, but it's basically given up all that gain again since. They did come out with an investor update saying that their cement sales were up between for this year probably between 11% and 15%. So a bit of an improvement, but not as substantial as we'd hoped for. Also, Of course, I think most investors had hoped that the government would have spent more money on infrastructure investing and allocated to from those promises that they've made. But we haven't seen much in that space yet. And then, of course, we've seen these major issues in KwaZulu-Natal with the looting at the end of last year. And then, of course, this very unfortunate flooding at the moment. So none of those these events have been positive for PPC, and they're really just back to where they started before the announcement of the government intervention.
So interesting thoughts there. We've got a question from Rambling Rian on Twitter. Also says, how's EOH doing? Their recent news was positive. However, the share price touched their 200-day moving average but didn't break through it. Is it worth keeping an eye on to look for a good entry point? Trickus?
Are we talking about EOH?
EOH, yes.
Yeah, EOH. I must admit, about 2 years ago, I did a bit of research. Back in the day, I made money in EOH before they started being, started doing serial acquisitions. And then about 2 years ago, I bought back into the share under the new management. A lot of good traction was being made. But I soon discovered there was more, not skeletons in the closet, but that there was genuine reputational brand damage. And I haven't looked at it yet. So I must be honest, I'm not going to give you the best answer yet.
Yeah, and you, Mia, do you look at it?
Yeah, well, I can basically say that they've cleaned up their balance sheet quite substantially. They came to market, in this past 2 years, stating how they were going to clean their house up. And they've really plugged that big debt hole that they had by selling many of their business units that they didn't deem core. And they have cleaned up the business quite substantially. They still have quite a couple of lucrative and interesting revenue streams, but they're not out of the woods completely yet due to the fact that they still have quite a bit of debt that they'll have to keep a sharp eye on. From these levels and valuations, again, the share price ran hard to the end of last year and then gave up nearly everything it had gained since August last year. But it's not out of the woods yet, I'd say, but there's opportunity here.
Yeah, no, that's always disheartening when you see that upsurge and you're like, the worst is over, and then it loses steam and starts going, the opposite direction. We still got a couple of stocks to go through, so I'm not going to rush you, but Trickus, do you follow Nampak at all?
No.
So no.
You can pass me on that one for now.
Okay, for now. And Mia, Nampak?
Well, I can say that on the broader, they had a bit of a wobbly sort of result and coming to the market with news now at the end of March. But the fact is that that the broader packaging area in South Africa has taken quite a bit of beating in special areas. There are certain companies that have done particularly well by benefiting from the work from home and the more online buying, etc. But Nampak weren't one of them. So Nampak, even though they had been using more cans in South Africa, the alcohol lockdown or bans had really hurt them, and there's just a couple of other issues also they're still dealing with. So not the best news that they came to market with. And the share price, I just remember the share price being down on the day, end of February, but with about 7%. So I can't remember the exact news. Also not a company that I'm invested in, but just that they haven't benefited really from the move to online sales.
Okay, fantastic. Trickus, maybe you follow this one. We're being asked about L'Oreal pre-earnings, if it's a good buy at these levels.
Now, there's 15,000 stocks out there, Bright. I'm not going to follow each one, unfortunately. And L'Oreal is unfortunately not on my watch list.
Mia, L'Oreal, no luck.
Yeah, L'Oreal came out with their results, if I'm not mistaken, a while ago. They have beat on earnings. I just quickly saw that pop up literally as I was preparing for the show. But it's a solid company. I mean, when you think about the exposure you get from L'Oreal with all the consumer brands they have and a very, very wide investment, or rather earnings stream globally, diversified quite well, but still very European dominant.
Yes.
And they came out now beating their estimates. You can see they're still sort of in the right area. Also, sort of more to the higher end from the consumer goods. So yes, it's a company that I've liked, and I think it's a pretty solid one.
Okay, thank you very much. Njabulo Njivas says, the view on JSE as a stock, please. Do you follow the JSE, Trickers?
Yeah. I think the JSE is fighting a bit of an existential battle. That might be putting it a bit bluntly, I don't know. But the problem is we're in the same time zone as other major exchanges, and we're losing a lot of listings. So if it wasn't for a lot of the multinationals that, you know, that due to regulation, et cetera, you know, as a double listing over here, then a lot of the trading revenue for the JSE would be non-existent. We're losing, I think we've lost about 30, 40 odd listings in the last year. We're going to lose a few this year, and we're not seeing a lot of them coming back to the JSE. And then there is some product innovation. What's the new... it's not an alternative exchange, but it's basically pivots around private markets that they're trying
the
to
launch. The acceleration program,
Exactly. We'll see where that goes. But I think it's for now, it looks to me like a business that's stagnating in a stagnating economy, and most of its revenue is generated by listings that, you know, is listed elsewhere. It doesn't need to be listed here. I don't think it's as mochi as other exchanges are.
Yeah. Before we go to our stock picks, Mia, JSE?
Yeah. I mean, I can add to that. I think it's a company that's losing business. They also struggle due to the fact that we've been in a low interest rate environment where they've got, you know, financing income as part of their income stream. Their income now for the last year has really deteriorated. I think their HEPS was down, headline earnings was down 6% and earnings down 7% or something like that. And they keep on paying out more dividend, which just shows you they have nothing to do with the money. There's nowhere for them really that they see fit to invest further in their business to make it more profitable. And it's because it's such a tight market. So yes, it's an unfortunate story of a business that doesn't have any room to grow at this stage, and that is actually paying out that revenue to the investors.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, that one. So the moment of truth, Trickus, is here, and we want to hear your stock pick for the evening.
Yeah, so I'm going with Zeta. I think this is the third time that I've gone with Zeta, and it keeps on giving. It's the gift that keeps on giving. So it's run up to about R3. It was R3.10 recently. It's came back to about $3 today. If you buy it here, you'll see a 29-cent dividend in a few weeks, and then your effective price will be about R2.10. NAV is R2.69, and there is no way in my right mind, and I think Piet Mouton, who actually drives behind the driver's wheel here, or the passenger that's telling the drivers at Zeta what to, you know, where to go, I don't see him allowing this company in its current form to remain listed. That NAV will be unlocked, or there will be an offer coming to minorities for somewhere, or they will sell the rest of the assets. I just don't see this company continuing being listed over the longer term, and the NAV, which is severely understated, will be unlocked.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back in the heydays of PSG, 2010, 11, 12, 13, I mean, this thing did hit R3 before. It's not the first time. So I think that tells the whole story, right? Mia?
Well, there's a lot of value that's been unbundled in the meantime.
Yeah, of course.
Gone. Gap Agri has gone.
Yes.
Yeah. That's sold a lot of businesses.
Okay, Mia? Your stock pick?
Yes, well, I'm going with Berkshire Hathaway for the viewers, because I think it's a great company that offers you a real active asset manager that's been buying really good stakes in businesses that have been undervalued. HP is their latest acquisition. They've become the largest shareholder in HP, which is actually one of the lagging tech companies out there, hardware manufacturer of computers, as we all know.
Yeah.
And they've been sitting on the sidelines initially during the COVID pandemic, and then became one of the largest buyers into new investors with the Occidental, with the petroleum buying lately. And then they're also taking over an insurance company that they announced last month. So they are deploying some of their a big, big pot of cash. And once again, this company for investors that, or people, listeners maybe that not as familiar with Berkshire and their strategy, the company is not really valued at market value when it comes to their underlying holdings. So when you look at their sum of the parts, they're really valued at book value. And also from a price to earnings perspective, despite the fact that the share price has performed well, the company is still trading at a price earnings ratio of less than 9. So that is still attractive compared to many other companies, and it's a very diversified share. So if you can only really buy one global share, this is not a bad one to consider.
Okay, thank you very much, Mia. So you're going with Berkshire and you're going with Zeda. Thanks to my guest, Drikas Kombrink from Capicraft and Mia Kruger from Kruger International. Stockwatch is back tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a good evening. We'll be right back.